CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
Robert Schuller said, "Spectacular success is always preceded by unspectacular preparation." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who prepare for success. Our first playmaker has 5,000 employees taking care of 12,000 patients in 10 states, while our next playmaker began his business after close friends of his family lost two children to addiction. With us today is the CEO of a company she purchased 58 days after being hired, while our next president developed an addiction treatment program proved to be at least three times more effective than traditional programs. These great playmakers are April Anthony. April is CEO of Encompass Home Health, and David Niffen. David is president of EnterHealth, and we'll begin today's show with David. After witnessing the devastation of a family friend who lost loved ones to addiction, David Niffen, along with his father, established EnterHealth in 2007. Headquartered in Dallas, EnterHealth offers a science-based alcohol and drug addiction treatment program created by a hand-picked team of addiction experts determined to dramatically improve treatment outcomes. Under David's leadership, EnterHealth has become one of the preeminent comprehensive alcohol and drug addiction treatment programs in North Texas and the nation, with a success rate that is three times greater than traditionally based programs. Well, David, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Your background is not in the drug or alcohol addiction business. You started out as an attorney. So how does an attorney get into the alcohol and drug addiction treatment industry?
Well, that's a good question. I sometimes ask myself that. I like to refer to myself as an attorney in recovery since I don't practice law anymore. But, you know, it's actually kind of an interesting path. I practiced law for a few years, was a tax and transactional attorney. Ended up leaving the practice of law, went to go work in more or less our family business, kind of a communications company. Through that relationship, came across and ended up meeting a great addiction psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Hal Urschel. Began working with him on some projects for a local outpatient practice that he was involved in. Over the course of about three
years. I'm sorry to interrupt, but was he a client of yours?
He was actually a client of ours at the time. And we were helping him just rebrand an outpatient private practice that he had had. And he had hired us to do some research, look into the industry. It was really my first opportunity to take a look at how people get treated for addiction. What's the industry all about? What's the methodologies of care? As we're going through that process, we had a real close family to my parents, actually a couple of families, that lost two children to addiction. It was devastating to watch. This just affected them greatly, losing two young boys that were in the prime of their life. And it was around that time, my dad and I, we actually went to church, came out of church one day, looked at each other, and we said, "Listen, we've been working on this project and banging around on this addiction category for a while. Maybe this is something we should look at getting involved in."
So you came up with the right idea at the right time.
It was the right idea at the right time. And what really propelled us, besides seeing that these families had lost two young kids, was really seeing that the industry hasn't developed. You look at the modalities of treatment, the way treatment's been progressed over the last 85 to 90 years, there's really little to no development. Yet there's a lot of advancements that are out there. They just haven't matriculated down to the treatment providers. And what we wanted to do was bring something to Dallas-Fort Worth, our community where I was raised, that was good quality addiction treatment that people could get the care that they needed.
Well, in the research and the information that was sent to me, it mentioned that the 12-step programs for both alcohol and drug addiction were established about 1935, so we're looking at over 70 years ago, and they fail more than 80% of the time. So what makes EnterHealth unique?
Well, EnterHealth's going to take a much different approach. 12 steps serves a role, serves a purpose. It's accountability. It's community. A lot of people don't have a lot of good support, but it's not a modality of treatment.
I would think it's a great, good beginning, at least to understand that.
It can be a great beginning. A lot of people just don't have good support around them. But what's really needed in addiction treatment is the idea of personalized medicine. I think what makes EnterHealth unique is we're going to bring to bear all of the things that we know work and that we know that you need, and it's going to be designed specifically for you. So, for instance, when you come to, say, our inner health facility or our outpatient facility, it's going to start with a personalized diagnosis, personalized assessment, and then a personalized treatment plan. And the way that you execute on that is you're going to have the great physician care that you need that's going to understand underlying behavioral issues, underlying psychiatric issues, and then be able to deal with that person over a course of time, a period of time. Generally, people stay with us 45 days, if not longer. And through that period, you're going to be meeting a lot individually. So you're really getting involved in the individual family systems. This affects the family greatly. Addiction is a family disease. So to address this properly, you're going to have to get down on the base level, get with them one-on-one, do a lot of individual work with the families, and then make sure that they're diagnosed and treated appropriately for behavioral issues, because there's often a lot of behavioral issues underlying any sort of substance abuse.
So it's both physical and mental. But you have two arenas, so to speak, EnterHealth Ranch and EnterHealth Outpatient Center of Excellence. Talk about those, because I was on your website. By the way, we were speaking with David Niffen. David is the president of EnterHealth, and their website is enterhealth.com. When you take a look at their photos of EnterHealth Ranch, as we were talking before the show started, it's like a high-end hotel ranch that you can go to. Talk about that, what you get there, and why you developed it that way.
Yes. The way we developed the InterHealth facility, which was a conscious decision. When we got involved in this, one of the things we noticed is that most of the addiction facilities are pretty dilapidated. I think it's one of the big reasons people are scared to go get care. They feel like they're going to be going into a psych hospital sorts. And what we wanted to do was create an environment that would be serene and quiet, because you're going to be doing a lot of hard work. This is a difficult period to go through. So let's make it comfortable. Let's keep your dignity intact. And so we designed it intentionally where people have their own individual rooms, their individual bathrooms. They have a sense of privacy, even while they're going through a very, very difficult time, because there's going to be a lot of hard work we're going to do. So we try to design the campus really in a non-clinical way, even though behind the scenes there's a lot of very clinical work being done.
Well, where is that located?
So the residential program is located just north of Dallas-Fort Worth. We're just located north of McKinney. It's about a 45-acre campus. We have 38 beds out there. And then we have an outpatient practice that's located in the Preston Center area, so right in the heart of Dallas.
So you have something locally, too. There is a, in looking at your website, there is a difference between substance abuse and addiction. Tell us a little bit about how you look at both those and what the difference is.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting area. The substance abuse is much more prevalent than you're going to see people suffering necessarily from addiction. We treat both substance abuse and addiction. Once you've reached the stage of having addiction, whether it be to alcohol or drugs, what's really happened is your body's become physically dependent upon the substance. You're going to need help withdrawing from that substance and then being able to learn the behavioral skills to stay away from it. Addiction is always preceded by substance abuse. And so as we're counseling kids in their schools, young adults, we're always trying to keep them abreast of the fact that it all starts with substance abuse, so you need to be mindful of the fact that if you use too much and if you don't take care of the substance abuse is something that we just try to work with the young kids on to make sure that it doesn't proceed to becoming full-blown addiction.
When I think of addiction, I watch some of the TV shows where they're in New York City and these are people on the streets and they're shooting up with drugs. This is not necessarily the type of clients you have. These could be upper middle class people who have had pain medicine. We were talking about that. So talk a little bit about the type of clientele you have.
Yeah, I think that's one of the misconceptions around addiction is the fact that it's just not people that are you see on the side of the road or they're necessarily homeless. We're dealing with a lot of very high-functioning people, and the pain medication epidemic that exists out there today is very, very prevalent. We see quite a bit of that in both of our facilities. But I think it's an issue that pervades our society, and high-functioning or low-functioning, it's something that you need to get a grip on, because over time it will progressively get worse. But we treat a lot of people, a lot of middle-class people, upper middle-class, that are suffering from addiction and dependence issues.
So you must have a lot of doctors in the area that understand what EnterHealth is all about and referring patients to you.
We do. We work with the referral community quite aggressively, primary care physicians, psychiatrists, counseling community. We're trying to get the word out that there is a quality place in their backyard to where we can treat people.
You must have a tremendous feeling of helping people with this business that you're in, because you've been in business, 8 years now, is that correct?
We've been in business for 8 years. It's actually kind of a beautiful thing when you think about it, because it's an opportunity to have a business, but it's also an opportunity to help a lot of people. And we probably treated over 1,500 people in our residential facility. Our outpatient facility has about 400 to 500 active patients at any given time. And it's a lot of pride, actually, to sit back and look at the lives that we've touched, the families that we've touched. And it's a great thing. You can sleep good at night knowing that you're helping people the way we're doing it.
Would someone start at your ranch, then go to outpatient, or might you have outpatients only?
It could go either way. We actually designed the outpatient program initially to come after the residential program, because we realized that no matter how good a job you do at the residential level of care, people will need follow-up care.
It has to be follow-up, right?
Has to be follow-up care.
You're talking about behavior change. You need to have that.
You do. It's really looked at as a chronic illness and something that needs to be managed over time. So 45 days of treatment is really a drop in the bucket when you're dealing with somebody that's been abusing for 20 years. But at the same time, there are a lot of people that don't necessarily need a residential level of care, so they'll start out in our outpatient level of care.
Now, could somebody contact EnterHealth to get into your system, or do they need to go through a physician?
It could go either way. Most people contact us. Usually they go to our website. We also have a 1-800 number. And generally speaking, we will do an assessment over the telephone to try to figure out what the level of care is that you might need. And often, if they're local, they will come into our outpatient program, get assessed by our professionals, addiction-trained psychiatrist, therapist, and then from there we can develop a plan of action for you.
Well, you mentioned your website. Tell everybody one more time how they can find out more about EnterHealth.
Sure. You can go to our website. It's enterhealth.com, just like you're entering a building, enterhealth.com. We also have a 1-800 number. It's 1-800-388-4601. We take admissions and intake calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we always have an admission specialist ready to speak with you or your loved one.
And you can check out their website on playmakerstalks.com. Well, David, thank you very much for being here with a great interview.
Thank you very much for having me.
David Niffen is the president of EnterHealth. Don't go away. We're going to talk more about healthcare, home healthcare specifically, with April Anthony. She is the CEO of Encompass Home Health. Back with April right after this.
Did you know there are more than 6,000 children in foster care in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? And more than 30,000 children in foster care in the state of Texas. These children need to know the love of a family. At Buckner, we find families for children rather than children for families. Our experienced staff is dedicated to walk alongside you every step of the way on your adoption journey. Every child needs and deserves to know the love of a family. November is National Adoption Month. Learn how you can be a family for a child who needs one at beafamily.org or by calling 1-855-264-8783. Be a family with Buckner.
There's no question that North Texas is growing. More people are moving here, employment's up, the housing market's booming. Now, here's something you may not know. 800,000 people in our community struggle with hunger, and 1 in 4 children is at risk of going hungry. This holiday season, the North Texas Food Bank needs your help. With every dollar you donate, they provide 3 nutritious meals to hungry people. Help support the North Texas Food Bank. Go to ntfb.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to talk to April Anthony, the Chief Executive Officer of Encompass Home Health. She founded the business in 1998 as her second successful home health venture. She brought the company to the forefront of the home care industry through her strategic guidance, principal leadership, and overriding passion of caring for the elderly and the medically fragile. In less than a decade, April has led Encompass's expansion from a single startup location to a provider with more than 40 home healthcare branches. April was critically involved in the design and development of the company's unique automation software, helping Encompass lead the way in home health technology. April is a CPA, beginning her career at Price Waterhouse, then moved into the home care industry in 1992, and soon became the owner and CEO of Liberty Health Services. Well, April, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Glad you're here, too. I'm going to ask you an interesting question, because most people don't know about this. How does a lover of the Houston Oilers and a lover of accounting become a CEO?
Well, I grew up in the Houston area, and when people would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, I would say I wanted to be an NFL football player, a quarterback in particular. But that dream seemed a little bit far-reaching since the Oilers disbanded. Otherwise, I'm sure I would have made it. But that led me into another direction. I pursued a degree in accounting from Abilene Christian University and subsequently worked with Price Waterhouse, and that led me into a controller position in home health care, which has turned out to be my life's passion.
Well, I want to ask you about the controller position in a moment, but tell us about your first job doing the books. Was it for your father?
My dad was an accountant for a number of years with Texaco, working in the Houston area, and left that business to become an independent farmer's insurance agent. And as an accountant, one of my first jobs at the age of 13, I started doing the bookkeeping for his insurance agency. My mother also owned a small business, and so he thought that was the best way to create a love of accounting was to start me early. And I'll never forget, he handed me the Houston phone book one day as I first started, and a tin key, which back in the day before computers, you had to do all of your adding and subtracting on a tin key. And until I could add up an entire column of phone numbers correctly, I couldn't actually start my accounting training. But once I finally got that down, then I was off to the races.
That's almost like learning blocking and tackling as a football player. You got to get that first before you can play. So did you pick up this through osmosis with your family, learning or having the love of accounting?
Well, I've always been a very linear thinker and a financially oriented mind, and I have two brothers that are CPAs. And so it does definitely seem to be genetic.
I guess it would be. Well, let's go back to what you mentioned, because you, in 1992, became a controller for a home healthcare company. And within 58 days, the whole situation changed. Tell us that story.
It's an interesting story. I was at Price Waterhouse. I'd been married for about a year. And if you know much about public accounting, the busy seasons can be very hectic. And coming off of the first busy season after getting married, my husband said, hey, that wasn't very fun. And I agreed that it was pretty taxing. And so decided, you know, I really don't want to work. I really want to be a stay-at-home mom. But we needed to save a little money before that could become a reality. So I began to look for a job as soon as busy season ended in 1992, and I ended up finding a position as a controller at a home healthcare company. And I'd actually been an oil and gas accountant. I had worked in the banking industry as well, but never done anything in healthcare. And so it was a bit of an odd situation, but I decided, well, even if I was only going to work for a year or two, I might as well be in charge of something. And so I took a position as a controller for a home healthcare company that had four subsidiaries. Well, the first role I had was to complete the financial statements for those companies. And as it turned out, one of the four was losing a fair amount of money. And in the days of the early 90s, home care was cost reimbursed. So you could lose money, but you couldn't make money if you spent over Medicare's caps. And so sure enough, I went to the owner and I said, listen, there's this problem. What would you like to do with this? And he said, well, could you find somebody to buy it? So I began conversations, talked to about a dozen folks. They all said, why would we want to be in a money-losing business? And so I had no luck disposing of that asset. So I went back to talk to the owner about my performance and or about my progress. And I said, well, you know, nobody seems to be interested. And the next words that tripped off my tongue came with no forethought whatsoever. I said, what if I just buy it? He said, sold. And I said, I can't buy it. I don't actually have any money. I mean, I can take it from you if you'd like with the losses. And again, he said sold. So I went home and told my husband the good news that I had decided to buy a home health agency. And he immediately said, buy with what? And I said, well, that's the even better news. They're just going to give it to us. And sure enough, we talked about what that really meant, which was that we were going to step into about $150,000 loss and had 6 months left in the Medicare cost report year to resolve that loss. And so at 25, that was a fairly risky move. But I always say, when you don't have anything, you can afford to lose everything. And that was kind of the stage of life we were in. And so we jumped in. I became the owner of that business, quickly had to lay off all the employees that were part of the back office, the non-essential personnel. And in doing that, I had to assume all of the roles and responsibilities that could be assumed by a non-clinician. We, of course, kept the nurses and the therapist, the home health aides, but I was the administrator and the hiring manager and the accounting manager and the billing clerk, and I did all of those functions. And over the course of the next 6 months, I just became passionate about what we do in home health care. I would go out and ride with our nurses because I didn't really know what home care was all about, and I thought, I need to see this in action if I'm going to go talk to doctors and try to sell our services. And I would walk into the homes of patients, and it was just astounding. We might have been the only person in the last 2, 3, 4 days that had come to this patient's home to really interact with them. Their mailman might have been there, their newspaper delivery boy, but our person was there to make an impact and to watch the way that our nurses and our therapists would really just change the perspective of this patient about how they could regain their independence and stay in their home, which is so important to those last years of life, the ability to live independently and with dignity. And so I thought, wow, this is an amazing business. And then I would ride from home to home with the nurse or the therapist that I was with that day, and I would listen to their stories, and it seemed that all the stories began to sound the same. The nurses would say things like, you know, I got into healthcare because I love caring for people and I wanted to make a difference. But then I went to work at the hospital and I sort of felt like all these 12-hour back-to-back shifts came on, and I kind of felt used, and I feel kind of empty and out of energy. And then I went to a nursing home, and that was even harder and more difficult. And so I'm here at Home Health thinking, maybe this will be the place where I can remember why I got into healthcare. And I thought, surely we can be a better employer. Surely we can create the kind of environment that would draw the very best people in, give them the tools and the teaching and the training and the admiration and the respect that they would need to be successful. And if we could do that, I think we could draw in the best people. If we have the best people, I know we can deliver the best care. If we deliver the best care, then we'll be able to grow our business. And on that simple philosophy has really been the foundation of 23 years now of being involed in home health care.
Right. Took a couple of things from that. One is you were a very tenacious person. You were to say, yes, I'll take it. Secondly, it almost seems like you got your MBA very, very quickly by actually having to do everything and learning business very quickly, too.
Well, I never had the opportunity for formal MBA education, but I definitely feel like I got some on-the-job training early on in my career.
Sounds like you have some very good people. I can see that home health care for these people is where the rubber meets the road. This is where they're really interacting with that one patient.
It's
amazing. How that's so beneficial for them.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you're in a hospital, that nurse that may be taking care of you there has 12, 15 rooms she's responsible for. And when you're in the home healthcare environment, our nurses get to walk in that door, and for 45 minutes to an hour, they'll focus exclusively on that patient, not just on their healthcare needs, but on their environmental needs, on the safety of their home environment, on the resources that they have available. They'll open their medicine cabinet and their pantry and their refrigerator, and we'll get the most holistic view of really what's going on with the patient and what will impede their ability to return to independence or what will promote their ability to turn to independence. And our team then gets to work in light of all those environmental factors to get that patient back to that place they desire to be, which is taking care of themselves in their home on their terms.
What better place to know a person than actually be in their living environment,
exactly,
to understand everything about them? I can see how they can have more of the passion for doing that than in a nursing home or in a hospital. I was reading in a Dallas Business Journal article about you, and I believe the beginning of the article, the writer wrote, "If you think you're busy, try April Anthony's schedule out for size." Well, you're CEO of two companies. You've recently sold pieces of both of them, but your schedule hasn't changed. If nothing else, we talked before, it's probably busier. How do you handle the running of both companies?
Well, after I started Encompass in 1998, I realized that we really needed a great technology platform in order to grow our business. We now have 210 total locations of Encompass operating in 24 states. And to do that, you definitely have to have a technology solution that can ensure compliant operations, regulatory compliance, financial efficiency, and just the ability to have insights to what's happening. And so I thought most certainly there would be a solution like this on the market. But as I began to research this, office back in 1999, I found that, in fact, there was no such solution. And so out of default, I decided to become a technology vendor as well and built a company called Homecare Homebase, started in 2001 after doing a kind of prototype period within Encompass for the first couple of years. But in 2001, Homecare Homebase was formed, and it's now the leading technology provider for the home health industry across the nation. 8 out of the 10 largest providers of home health services in the nation use our Homecare Homebase technology platform. And so it has provided, had great insight, both for our business as we've grown over the years, but also have really changed the dynamics for the industry. But getting back to the schedule and how you manage two businesses, I've yet to find a lot of folks that have run a bunch of different businesses over their career. I can't find too many that have run two separate businesses at the same time with two separate ownership groups. So I actually report to Hearst Corporation for our home health business and to HealthSouth Corporation, which is now the majority owner of our provider home care business. And so it's an interesting dynamic to balance all of that. But at the end of the day, you know, for me, as I think about where do I spend my time most valuably, really in both businesses, it's about building great teams and creating culture. I do something we call road shows on our home care business, 210 locations in 24 states, and yet I visit all of those locations each year, sit down with the employees, talk to them about our strategies and our philosophies. And when people say, well, how do you balance your time? The best thing I can do is really help build culture in our organization, and particularly on our services business of Encompass. If we don't have the right culture and the right environment and we can't create those intangible motivations for our team, then the rest of it is all just kind of tactics. But if we can do that and we can make people believe you are making a difference in the life. Today, 28,000 patients are on our Encompass Home Health Services. And to take our 7,000 employees and say, you're making a difference in the lives of these people every day, we've got to inspire greatness in those people. And so the most important thing I can do as CEO is create a culture that not only supports that from the top, but that makes sure every leader within our company has that same passion for our really simple mission of delivering a better way to care to our patients.
I was going to ask you what makes Encompass unique, because your tagline is a better way to care, but you answered that question just now because it's all about the people, and that's why you are unique. Tell everybody how they can find out more about Encompass Home Healthcare.
Well, you can go to our website. It's ehhi.com or encompasshomehealthcare.com. You can reach us either way, but ehhi.com, and you can see all of our locations of service. We provide skilled home care services as well as a hospice benefit, and our hospice benefit has been a tremendous addition within the last few years to our company, and the impact we can make with end-of-life care has really been a great continuation of the mission that we started in home health care.
Well, April, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
April Anthony is a CEO of a couple of businesses, specifically Encompass Home Healthcare. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank again to April and to David Niffen, who is a president of EnterHealth. This has been a terrific show. Join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com. We're going to be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.